right, guys, what's up? Welcome back to another exciting episode of Apologia TV. That's Joy the Girl on the TV show today.
It is.
What's up? And that's Luke the Bear.
What up? And there's a fly with us.
This is a beardless ninja today. I'm Jeff Durbin, and this is Apologia TV. You guys can get more at apologiaradio.com. It's spelled A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A radio.com. You can go there. You can get the TV show, the after show, the Apologia Academy, our podcasts, all that stuff is there. Just go there. It is a treasure trove of awesomeness and great guests and amazing lectures. Just really great stuff. So go there, check it out. This is right here, one of our favorite people in the world, Vocab Malone, pastor at Roosevelt Community Church, downtown Phoenix. What's up?
What's up? Glad to be here.
Yeah. And retired hip-hop artist. Semi-retired.
Semi-retired.
I just rap in church now. Keep it in church.
Okay, keep it in the church.
They used to say keep it out of church. Now I only rap in church. It's true.
So we're very close to Vocab and to Roosevelt Community Church, and we've done a lot together. We've been on each other's shows more times than I can count at this point. Used to be Backpack Radio, now Urban Theologian. We used to be Redemption Radio, turned into Apologia Radio. We've gone through a lot of different changes, some really cool stuff. And Vocab is on his way to getting his doctorate.
Doctorate of Ministry.
Doctorate of Ministry.
Yes. Nice.
And when I'm done, I'll have a demon.
That's some a demon.
Sure.
And so he is in the process of starting labor in a particular area that is fascinating to me because it's something I don't know really. I mean, almost nothing. I know almost nothing about this subject, although I have had two or three confrontations with Black Hebrew Israelites. And I would say that I think maybe in the last 2 years, one of the requests we've gotten most
yes.
often
yep.
is, will we do something on Black Hebrew Israelites?
Yeah.
And my answer is, I appreciate how highly you think of me, thinking that I know so much about so many different things, because this is something I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
And Vocab has dedicated a lot of time to this. And so you can see the stack of books that he brought today to start explaining to us what this movement is all about. And so Vocab, you know what you're doing. This is your thing, and so you take us into the discussion.
I do, but I know you guys have good questions. My favorite thing to do is to interact. I mean, I can go and lecture on them or something.
Yeah.
But what's like the first question you would
okay.
have about them if you're trying to understand them?
Okay, so Black Hebrew Israelites, let me just say, this is coming with a lot of caution, okay?
Yes.
Go to YouTube and type in Black Hebrew Israelites. I got to have a serious caution like attached to that because
yeah.
the stuff that you will get is
vile.
I mean, it's bad. Some stuff is not so bad. Some stuff is really, really bad. And so you don't want your kids around, I think, in the room when you are investigating this because of the content, the language. It's pretty bad. So, okay. Black Hebrew Israelites, very aggressive, very offensive oftentimes, and they're not all like that, but that's what you'll see a lot of on social media and if you run into them in the streets. And so let's start with this question. Who are the Black Hebrew Israelites?
Well, according to the Black Hebrew Israelites, you should call them the Hebrew Israelites.
Okay.
So drop the black. That's an inaccurate term in their mind because most of them believe that included in this group called the Hebrew Israelites are included who they call Issachar. That would be some people of Mexican descent, for example.
Okay.
Puerto Ricans, Native Americans, and so Cubans, Dominicans. So since there's others, they say, hey, we're not all black. But if you're black, you're probably part of Judah, and you are supposed to kind of be the flagship or lead the movement
okay.
as part of Judah. So they don't like the black on the Black Hebrew Israelites. If you're talking to them, just know that.
Okay.
So they think that they are the awakened sons of Israel. So literal physical descendants from Abraham. And here they are now. And the awakened part is that they've now come to realize their true heritage that's been stolen from them and they've forgotten due to sin and God's punishment on them. Now the movement is being awakened to this reality, and their job is not really to convert people. They don't believe in conversion. Their job is to gather the scattered, so other Black Israelites that don't realize who they are, and to proclaim judgment against you Edomites.
Okay. Okay.
So there's no way for a white person to be saved in their theology.
The so-called white man whom we call Esau, That's how they would say it. They, okay. they don't actually even say white. They'll often say so-called white man. They prefer Esau or Edom. So that's generally how they. So it depends on the camp. So a camp is kind of like a denomination, a little bit. But there are some groups, such as this group called GOCC, Gathering of Christ Church, who believe that you can be grafted in. And so they would point to Cornelius as a prime example, or Timothy as somebody who clearly seems to be not Jewish or not fully Jewish, a Gentile in Cornelius's case, but seems to be able to be grafted in into the nation. But in their mind, you still always need to do it by clinging to an Israelite. And there's a passage in Zechariah they kind of go to where it talks about clinging to an Israelite, other nations clinging to an Israelite. So you kind of are under their authority and whatnot, but you can be grafted in, but you don't have full teaching authority, but you could go out, you could be sent perhaps under them. But those are not the groups generally that you're going to see on the street. To my knowledge, Gathering of Christ Church doesn't do street teaching, for example. Okay. They're more about sort of internal things they do, such as celebrating feasts together. They're big on celebrating the Old Testament feasts. And they're actually, GOCC is probably the most prominent in producing Israelite rap music. So there's a whole section called Israelite music, sometimes spelled with a Z, or sometimes they call it truth music. And GOCC seems to be the most prominent in producing rappers as well.
What's it called again? The name of the
Gathering of Christ Church, GOCC.
The rap says called Truth.
They'll sometimes call it Truth. But just like look up GOCC rap. That's probably the quickest way to, or maybe type in Israelite. If you do that, you'll find some examples of some rappers.
A lot of F words in those songs from some
Gathering of Christ Church, from what I can tell, don't abide by all the swearing.
Okay.
So it's a kinder, gentler Hebrew Israelite type stuff. And I had a friend who is a Hebrew Israelite, said, look, I follow more of these brothers down there. They're righteous brothers. I'm not necessarily in the camp, but they're not like GMS, ISUPK, IUIC. Those are other camps and their acronyms. And when I looked into GOCC, it was true on whole, they seemed better. In fact, the way that the other camps mock GOCC is by calling them Christian. That's like one of the worst slurs. So these Christianized Israelites. Now, they're really not Christian, because it only took me 2 minutes of searching throughout their main video feed to see they deny the deity, the full deity of Jesus, and they deny Trinity, which, if an Israelite is watching this right now, they're like, oh, he's looking at things through a Roman matrix. You know, the second I said Trinity, they start sounding like Jehovah's Witnesses when you bring up Trinity. It's almost identical argumentation.
Wow. All right, guys. So a lot to learn right now. And we're going to have this show and then some of the after show at ApologiaRadio.com. So stay with us. Be right back. Apologia TV. And we're back. Vocab Malone, Roosevelt Community Church, Urban Theologian Radio. Black Hebrew Israelites. So I'm going to play a clip in a second here. You guys are going to get a chance to see this, of just some interaction. But before I do, give us an introduction to why you're doing this. Because this, I mean, you talk about the stack of books, and you have to sort of do this research kind of piecemeal.
Yeah.
Because there's not like a single source that, from a Christian perspective, where you can go to and get the history, the ideology, the theology, and all those different things. And so what made you step into this, because it's really important. So how'd you get there?
Well, so before, I had done a lot of stuff with atheism, some with Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and of course Islam, but always looking for new opportunities, and especially things in like a kind of a street context. And I knew a little bit about these guys, but then one day I saw them on the street, and we were on our way to the toy shop. So I said, should we stop and talk to them? My wife, I asked her. She said, if they're still there when we come back. I said, okay. So they were. So I said, all right, here we go. So I grabbed the little recorder, and I just went up, and I said, hey, what's the gospel? I just started talking to these guys. Audio is really raw. You know, I didn't really know a ton about them. Then I put it up online, and it got way more feedback than most things I had done, and I kind of did it almost as an afterthought. And so I said, what is this? Why is this getting so much interest? And people were calling me, talking to me like I was an expert from this one interaction where I just mainly listened to them yell at me and ask them questions. So
yeah, I heard the whole thing.
So I said, well, if that's the case, that means hardly anyone's doing anything then. And so I realized there was a great need.
Yeah.
And so I looked for an opportunity. And then when at Talbot, the program I'm in, they allowed me to do this as my doctoral project, then it was go from there. But immediately when I saw the need and lack of resources, That was the second thing. When I saw the growing need, lack of resources, I said, this might be it.
Yeah.
And so that's why.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that I haven't personally tried to figure everything out is I don't know where to go for the resources.
You have to start from scratch.
Yeah, start from scratch. It's sort of like, it seems like you are, it just hit me, you are sounding like Dr. Walter Martin sounded like in like the 50s.
Right, right.
When he was trying to come up with resources and figure a way out to engage the cults, and there was no one-stop resource shop for how do we engage the cults? What's their history? What's their theology? How does it compare to Christian theology and the gospel? And so he started from scratch, and it was all research. It was all libraries for a long, long time. And because there was nothing there. And now we have the benefit of Walter Martin and all the ministries that came because of his ministry and all of their works. But this is that little peculiar area with this particular one. So interesting. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
Okay, so so the clip here is, it's Brother Polite, who you said is an atheist in New York City.
He's sort of an atheist, but with a comedic Egyptologist New Age slant, and he's part of something called the House of Consciousness, which is a big thing in New York. Polite is probably of this kind of new breed of kind of internet, Afrocentric-type religions, even though he's not a Hebrew Israelite. He's probably the most well-known. I think he actually makes his living from kind of doing talks and all that stuff, selling videos. But he is grilling a group called GMS, and they're in a specific Israelite camp. And when he's grilling them, he knows some of their beliefs. And so he's sort of trying to show everyone, look how wild these beliefs are. Mm-hmm. So not all Hebrew Israelites are going to agree with what is going to be said here by GMS. In fact, one of my friends says, everyone in the Hebrew Israelite world knows that GMS is sick. But see, what I've noticed is they kind of all say that about each other. But I think most of us could agree GMS is sick. Once you watch the clip, you'll see.
So it stands for Great Millstone.
Great Millstone, yeah.
And if you see any of the clips of these guys in San Francisco, they're the ones that are like the most vile, threatening to kill people, using every racial slur known to to man. So
and
like
that's the group I talk to.
Yeah.
So the group with my audio and the group that I've seen most active in Metro Phoenix are GMS.
Where can they get that audio real fast though?
If you go to urbantheologianradio.com or if you type in Christian pastor versus Black Hebrew Israelites or Christian apologist versus Black Hebrew Israelites, there's a couple of different channels will pop up. You'll see
Okay, good. And does Brother Polite live up to his name? Is he polite?
In this segment, as you can tell, he's having fun. In this segment, he is. But I've heard other times not as much. But most people would be pretty polite compared to a lot of the Israelites. So, okay. Yeah.
Right on. That was for joy. Okay.
Right. Here we go.
Let me ask you a question, brother. We have to ask you a question. How many of you are fathers here? Just be for real. If you're a father.
I'm a father.
What if someone is overwhelmed by the spirit of the Most High God and he reads your scripture and he take your daughter and he just rape your daughter? What do you say to that? If he live like you live, walk like you walk, talk like you talk. Because y'all live amongst each other.
Yeah.
Y'all live amongst each other. So what happens when one of y'all feels so overwhelmed by the spirit of God that when you see one of each other's daughters, you just grab her up? You gonna tell one of these brothers here, come on, you know the doctrine. You know how we get when you get.
Answer it.
We just told you that.
How would y'all respond?
In this time,
if it did happen.
But if it did happen, you would allow it to happen. Why? Yeah. Because you go back to the scriptures.
You were supposed to be a brother.
Hold on. You're going to allow one of your brothers to rape your daughter.
You say rape as if rape simply means to grab.
Oh, boy. No. We're talking about. Now, we read the verse. We read the verse.
No,
where someone was.
In the kingdom of heaven. Hey, look.
We read the verse, man.
When the kingdom is established, we're going to get women when they 12 years old.
Right.
All right?
Say it again.
As soon as they start in the kingdom of heaven, when their period starts, that's when they become a woman.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to deal with them when their period starts.
Right.
When their monthly starts.
Question.
Have sex with them. Have babies, man.
With 12-year-olds.
Brother, there's in the kingdom, we're going to do that, man. We're going to get them young.
Where's this kingdom?
We're going to get them.
Oh, so, yikes. So that's an example. The sad thing is, now, this will get controversial, but some of what they said is similar to certain sects of Islam doctrine of when you can have sex with the young, because they've got to make excuses for what Muhammad did because he married the 6-year-old and consummated at 9. And so they go into this whole thing about, puberty and this and that. But 12 is better than 9. Hey, so it's an improvement over Islam in that area.
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, but you see, Poe Light knows what they're going to say, and yeah. he knows their lingo. Did you hear, like, so the spirit of the Most High overwhelms you and then you rape? I mean, so he's approaching it from their presupposition, which is wild. That's
right.
That's a presupposition. But the one guy says, he didn't finish his sentence. You say rape like it's a... What was he going
to
say?
He
like
said rape's just a word for grab, to
yeah,
grab.
It seemed like he was going to say, you say rape like it's a bad thing. He didn't say yeah. a bad thing, but it seemed like that's where he was going. Yeah, but yeah, but what did they say? He said, yeah, because that's how we're going to operate in the kingdom. So they have weird little cartoons, GMS specifically, where it'll show these pictures and it'll say like Edomite sex slaves. It'll have like white women like on them. And then this is one specific I'm thinking of. Then beside the bed is the head of an Edomite man, a white man, and it's severed. And the guy's holding a sword while the Edomite women are feeding him grapes.
Yeah.
Again, Edomite, that's how they call someone who's white or so-called Caucasian. But there's stuff like that. But again, not all the camps are like that. So here's what's the problem about the show with anything. If you meet someone who says, hey, I identify as a Hebrew Israelite, and you start coming at them with, oh, you believe that. They may not believe that at all. They may think that's very wrong. And so you've simply got to ask them where they're at with this, because they could have the bare bones Hebrew Israelite theology, meaning they buy the version of history that says if you came over here via the transatlantic slave trade, you are physical descendant from Abraham. That may be all they buy. But usually what I've noticed happens when Christians buy that, they start going down a bad path
okay.
and the other doctrine that follows. So it's not that it's no concern. It is a concern, but it doesn't mean they agree with all this other stuff that some of the camps like GMS would promote.
What?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
What is the interaction between the camps versus someone that's not a part of a camp? So not everyone is a part of a camp, right?
Right.
So how does the interaction between those two different groups of people?
I regularly listen to a podcast by IUIC. So if someone's like, I can't do all this, this is crazy, but you want to kind of like start, go on iTunes and Google Israel United in Christ, and they have a podcast. And what it is it's essentially mainly a man named Nathaniel. He kind of pronounces it differently, but his teachings that he gives broken up into podcast form. But on that, you get a good dose of at least what IUIC believes. And they're very clear, actually very well produced. So I actually enjoy most of them. And on those, he regularly gives asides, kind of little disses, specifically to non-camp affiliated Israelites. Kind of like the way maybe a pastor would speak of people who say they're Christian but never attend church.
Mm-hmm.
They would kind of look at them in a similar way and be like, you Facebook-only Israelites out there, you know, da-da-da-da. They'll kind of say things along those lines. And occasionally they'll diss other camps, although...
That means although, time's up.
Okay, all right.
We'll be right back.
You have to mute that.
All right, so important discussion, and these things are always so fascinating to me. Like when I first started reading about Mormonism and the Watchtower, I don't know why I just find it so fascinating to see how these cults and these religions have their origins and their theology. It's interesting. It seems like everything that you've named so far, like of all these different camps in the Hebrew Israelite movement, they all have like almost like rapper, like gangster titles.
There's
like
a huge
like
cultural
KRS-One. Like KRS-One.
It's really interesting.
KRS-One.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody does have an alternate name. Almost everybody, hardly anybody goes by their real name. And sometimes they're quite elaborate. Usually there's something Ben Israel, you know, a son of Israel is what that means. But they have different little names. And some of the camps even give themselves military titles. So General Yohana leads the ISUPK. So every time you see an ISUPK-related media thing, like a podcast or an interview, will say, given by Captain So-and-so, under the authority of Commanding Officer General Yohana. So it's very like hierarchical in some of these.
Interesting.
And, General Yohana is particularly interesting. I wish I could show you what I'm about to talk about. He had a 12-inch action figure doll made of himself with his company.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, and the way I found out about this is through, like, legal briefings. So I was doing a little extra research, and ISUPK sued the doll manufacturer because the doll was made not according to specs, according to ISUPK. It was made several shades too light.
Interesting.
Now, I saw a picture of the doll online. And first of all, it's kind of weird. The outfit they chose, it looks like he's in a yellow raincoat, like old school style. But he's actually right. It is lighter than it should be.
Wow.
So I don't know what happened there, but I mean, the doll is too light. But but I wish I could get one of those so bad. I think it was a limited run of 1,000, and I don't know how you could get one. I think they were $79.99 when they first came out.
$79.99.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
But who doesn't want a General Yohanna 12-inch action figure doll?
I know you wouldn't be Mr. G.I.
Right.
Joe.
Yeah, but to be fair, I only collect the 3.75-inch. I don't like the 12-inch.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my...
So you'd like a 3.75-inch.
Me too, I like the small ones.
Yeah. You can, it's needed to have more detail hard, on hard a smaller plastic. Scale, and I don't want to change anyone's clothes either.
Yeah.
So those two things make me like the smaller G.I. Joes.
Things just got weird.
just saying.
So, okay, so here's my question. So if they're not interested in converting people, if you watch the videos, obviously they're mostly interested in just telling you you're going to burn. Right.
Well, you.
Right. Me.
You.
Yes, me. I mean, especially me.
Look how hairy you are. You look like an Edomite.
He's such a big white man. He's like...
Right. The funny thing is that I'm saying that, I'll let you continue, but a big thing for them is to make fun of how hairy white people are. That's a thing for them.
I'm in trouble.
Because they relate it back to Esau being hairy like a garment. And so they'll show pictures of white guys with hairy backs and be like, look at Esau still looking like Esau. It's like kind of funny because it'll be like some like overweight dude with a back that looks like a carpet, you know? So, go ahead. Sorry.
So like I guess.
Like Robin Williams would be like, look at you, Edomite.
So I don't, I mean, the point of them going on the street is just to tell you you're going to burn. One, that's part one of the question. Part two is, like, if I, you know, you mentioned that you could be grafted in, like, what does that look like? What is the purpose of that? Am I avoiding judgment if I do that? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is the purpose of them being out on the street?
Well, remember, they want to go places where Black Americans who are still in slumber are. So where they set up, they don't go set up like in the suburbs, generally speaking.
Yeah.
They are very strategic in where they go in the metro areas. So if someone's hearing this and has no idea what I'm talking about, you probably don't ever traverse the hood or live in a major city.
Traverse.
But if you do, give it time and you'll run into them. And that's okay. I'm just saying that's kind of how it is, because there's certain places if you live, you see them all the time.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. But so their goal is to be faithful. Like they're like a prophet from the Old Testament.
Okay.
May speak a message, and it doesn't mean like the people are going to change, but they're being faithful in that. But remember, their main goal is to gather the scattered.
Yeah.
And so the dude in the gang, like, they love to show video clips where he'll say, Hebrew Israelites confront Blood's member, he cries, something like that. And where they'll see a guy and, you know, he's directionless, and they approach him very masculine. It's weird the way they talk to they become very pastoral, actually.
Mm.
If you watch it, there's a sensitivity, and they change their tone, and they're clearly reaching out to this person. Mm. And they'll speak to them with great empathy. And as they do, they want them to see really who they are. And kind of they'll be like, this book, well, this is about you. Do you know Paul? Yeah. Do you know Moses? Black like you. Look at your skin. Black like you. You know Jesus? Black like you. Well, what makes you say that? Well, I never heard that. Didn't Moses live with the Egyptians for a number of years and was mistaken for an Egyptian? Wasn't Paul once mistaken for an Egyptian in the book of Acts? Doesn't Jesus have skin that's burnt like bronze, brass? Or, you know, they go down this list and someone's like, whoa, you know. So that's how they approach it. So it's like, wake up to the fact that you're royal seed.
Would it bother them if I was like, I'm cool with Jesus being black? Does that bother them? Like, would it, like,
it depends on the camp. So some will say that's a bare bones admission. And they'll say, well, good. You know whose foot's going to be on your neck then? Others might be like, maybe you're going to, you know, be on the right path. So it depends on the guy. You know what I'm saying? But there's videos of them where they love to show white people in submission. So there's one video that says, silly Edomite kisses the boot of an IUIC officer or something like that. I'm misquoting the video. I don't think it's an IUIC.
Well, I just saw it pop up and it was Edomite woman rolls on ground for Israelites or something.
So
like that.
Something like that. They like to show any type of it looks like submission. But some of them will say, look, come hang with us. You know, you can learn. And then if they really, there's some camps that if they perceive you like in a certain way, they'll even be willing to like disciple you, maybe let you go with them. And that creates a controversy with other camps that say you can't roll with anybody that appears to be an Edomite in any way. And so you'll see, they'll like be like, look at this camp filled with white boys and da da da. So occasionally you'll see some of the camps that are okay, and and it's somehow they like make an allowance for it. They'll see either you're grafted in or they'll like find a way to make you associated with their 12 tribes chart is what I've noticed.
Hmm.
Like, oh, we've done the research and on his dad's side, such and such. And it gets really convoluted and crazy. Wow. You can't figure out. Looks like just an Irish guy to me, but I guess he's okay with you. Okay.
Like Marcus, like have Marcus join him. Maybe.
There's some guys I've seen that look like Marcus, but you'll hear other camps mocking
Marcus,
that.
The way he talks sometimes.
He can keep it down.
He'd be like, oh, you, I know you're black.
He can be down. Well, there's other camps that will say like, you can't do any of that. Don't be doing any of that. And they'll regularly make fun of camps that do allow for that type of thing. In fact, they get real strict. Like, I was on a message board once. A man says, I woke up to the truth recently, but I've married an Edomite, and I have a daughter with her. What should I do? And the answer's all down the row where you got to divorce her. Mm. Like, the whole list of them.
Man.
So it depends on the camp.
Let's do this. Show today on the network is over for today, but the conversation is continuing at apologiaradio.com. That's where we have our after show. We're going to stay on with Vocab Malone talking about Hebrew Israelites in more detail. So go over there, catch the rest of the show. That's Joy. That's Luke. MissionAware.com is where you go to get shirts like that. I'm Jeff the Ninja. We'll see you over at the after show. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversations, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming all access. Go check it out. All right, guys, we're back for the after show right now, doing our show, our after show on the Hebrew Israelite movement, sometimes known as the Black Hebrew Israelites. If you caught the television show, we're going to pick up right now, right where we left off. And so if you didn't see that yet, make sure you go check that out. It gives you a fuller context. And now we're going to do some more detailed examination. So Vocab is going to kind of walk us through maybe some more of the history, the theology. But before we do that, let's get a little more of a sampling of what some of these guys are like.
Can I walk up the video?
Yes.
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
So you're about to watch a video from a man named General Yahana. He has been in this truth for, I think, 3 decades. That's how they refer to someone who's been awakened. They'll say been in this or been in the truth. And General Yahana is the commanding officer over ISUPK. ISUPK started in Harlem in 1969. It stands for the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge. ISUPK claims to be the only camp that Yahweh is, quote, dealing with. So they're actually very exclusive, making them not very many friends among other camps because they claim to be the only true camp. They do have somewhat of a pedigree, though, in that in 1969, they really were the first modern version of the Hebrew Israelite movement to come out. And all the other camps that have come out have in some way come out of ISUPK. So General Yahana is in this clip speaking about the advantages of polygamy, because most Hebrew Israelites believe polygamy is part of what will be in the new heaven or new earth in the Messianic kingdom. And some believe you should practice it now. And so he's going to talk about how great polygamy is.
Go ahead. 2 women are dead after a high-speed chase that started inside the state of Georgia and crossed into Alabama.
What you black women so mad about when you did not protest against same-sex marriage?
That's right. That's right.
You didn't protest against same-sex marriage. Why are you mad now? Because a man want to have more than one woman.
Right.
And let me tell you something. It is one of the best ways to rebuild this nation.
That's right.
And it's one of the best ways for a black man to learn how to be a leader. Right. You got more than one woman. You got to really learn skillfully how to deal with these women.
That's right.
And it is educational and empowering and strengthening to a black man.
Right.
Now, don't go out and do it unlawfully. Don't learn how to be with more than one woman from anywhere but the UPK.
Right.
Now, if you go and do that and it gets screwed up, don't blame us.
All right.
I ain't telling everybody to go get more than one woman. I'm saying in the UPK, you can learn how to have more than one woman, and it's a great benefit.
That's right.
And it's a great benefit. And here's another reason it's a great benefit. Because that witchcraft that's on these black women. Turn on Basketball Wives.
Is that where you want me to stop?
Yeah, about okay. there.
Stop with the basketball.
About there. Worse.
This is fascinating. This is really fascinating.
So, again, so even in that clip.
You got to learn to deal with these women. This is going to teach you how to.
You hear in that clip the exclusivity the ISUPK specifically has. And everything else to them is fraudulent. And they're, of course, they're advocating polygamy, but you can't do it unlawfully. But it's interesting. Now, what an interesting application to this, because did you hear what he said? It's one of the best ways to rebuild this nation. So they view themselves in a nation rebuilding process. The Hebrew Israelites as a people have been demolished. And it's interesting, a big way that they explain what has happened to black Americans and folks over here in the Western Hemisphere from the slave trade is as a result of them experiencing the curses of Deuteronomy 28. Mm. Deuteronomy 28 is the key passage in their interpretive framework because they interpret everything that is described as a curse to them. And they'll say, look how this is fulfilled among our people. This is fulfilled. And so it actually has a little bit of a theodicy to it, mm-hmm. meaning explaining evil or suffering in their case by saying we've been rebellious and sinners, and that's why all these things have justly happened to us. Mm. But now you can't stop this movement. The truth is coming out. We're going to rebuild the nation according to God's holy laws. And so to them, this is an answer to problems in the black community as well.
Okay.
They'll say, you have this problem, you have this problem, you have this problem. Not so if you followed these laws. And so they want to rebuild the nation. That's why he's General Yohanna, because it's nation building. And that's why he speaks about polygamy as a good way to do that.
Okay.
You see, so there's a logical connection in their mind to these things.
Okay. So, go ahead.
All right, I got two questions. One, right before we started the segment, you said that they also think King James was black. Are they KJV onlyists?
The ones who are messianic are.
Okay.
So there's different types of Israelites. There's ones who are call themselves messianic Israelites, and that's almost all the groups I've mentioned in some way would technically be considered messianic. All that simply means is they accept the fact that Jesus is the Christ. Now, most of the camps, if they hear this, will say, that Edomite doesn't know what he's talking about. He just said J. There's no J in Hebrew. So they're very anti-Jesus. You can't say the word Jesus. There's a camp that says it's okay, IUIC, and all the camps make fun of them because they say Jesus is okay. Anyways, so if you accept Jesus as the Messiah, you're messianic. If you don't, you're Tanakh only. Now, I haven't dealt with any of them yet. I've only heard about them and heard some of their teachings. They're more like, it's more like, what you think of Judaism as a little bit more so because they don't accept that. And the weirdest thing is a lot of them say Joshua.
Hmm.
Joshua was the Messiah. They'll say he's the one who fulfills a prophet like unto Moses. But with all that being said, the ones that are KJV only. With the Apocrypha, though. With the Apocrypha. Hmm. And then you say, well, hold up. You know, King James of Scotland, I think, was an Edomite by your standards. Well, no, the history's been whitewashed. Look at this picture on the internet. Oh my gosh, King James was black. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. So King James was a black king of Scotland.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
So, it's like that.
So wow. The proof is all there. You got to do your research. So,
look at this meme. So, Google it.
So my next question then.
When they say do research, they mean read Hebrews like websites. They don't actually mean do research.
Yeah. So does this group exist outside of our nation? Because
yes, in the UK and especially Jamaica, West Indies, Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, yes.
So, but they have to be someone that came to one of those places through the slave trade? Is that
yes.
what you're getting at?
There's a meme. Do you guys have PG-13 words on the after show? How do you guys do that?
Yeah.
There's a meme that says...
PG-13.
This to me, this is the best meme that actually describes the theology better than anything I've ever seen.
If you have kids, mute it. This get them away.
It's a mild one, but still. It says, did your ass come over here on a ship? Question mark on the top, on the bottom. Then your ass is an Israelite. So if you came over on a ship, then you're a Hebrew Israelite. However, most of them will say there's probably still some Israelites left in Africa. But some of them say no, because Esau was so crafty. That's their favorite adjective for white people, crafty. Esau was so crafty, he knew who he was going to get. So in essence, being sort of in league with, you know, God's enemies, they specifically targeted certain people to snatch out of Africa, the Israelites.
So by ship, they mean slave ship, though, because technically most of the people in our country came here from a ship.
Well, so they mean slave ship. So just one little verse, because this will help you understand what they're saying. Deuteronomy 28:68. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. The Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt. That's the key. Gotcha. You'll say, wait a minute, Egypt? Well, yeah, Egypt is precept upon precept. Now, what's Egypt a sign of in the Bible? Bondage or slavery. Where were we bondage? In the Western Hemisphere. So Egypt is slavery. So it'll bring you back in the ships to slavery. So the ships are little. Egypt is figurative.
Mm.
Interesting. Interesting. Fascinating. Man, Esau is one hairy, crafty, devilish white man.
And what's weird is he's Jacob's twin brother.
Right?
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
And so they would say Jacob's black.
Yeah, and that, so they love to show pictures of twins that came out in different colors. They're like,
I've seen those pictures.
Yeah, which is a real thing, but that's like their thing, like, look, it still happens.
It's pretty uncommon.
Yes, it is. Wow. However, there's a small group of Israelites, and the thing is, I haven't figured out their rationale yet. There's a small group of Israelites who deny the Esau equals white man doctrine, but I think all the camps accept it.
Is there... Actually, okay, that's a perfect segue. What are a few things that they all agree on? Because it sounds like they're all a little bit different.
Israelites described in scripture are dark, black-skinned people.
Okay.
That is like, and
that's the thing.
They ended up over here in the Western Hemisphere.
That's it.
That's the big thing. So the funny thing about it is they act like they're sola scriptura type people. Now they don't use that terminology.
Yeah.
But they act like you got to go to the scripture. Even remember when earlier we were talking about their justification for the 12-year-old thing? You got to go back to the scripture, the guy says. Well, so everything to them needs to be justified in the scripture. But their main controlling narrative for how they view history is actually not scriptural.
Mm.
Which, again, shows they're actually not really from the Bible where they get their main controlling view of how they view things.
Okay.
Which is interesting. It's from other sources, kind of a convoluted view of history.
Mm.
But that's the big thing that they agree upon.
I must tell you, I do not wish to fight you. Violence is no longer in my nature. But if you want it, you got it, sister!
That's the white devil scene from Ace Ventura. That's the white devil scene.
That's what Esau. You're doing. The last 5 minutes, he's been like,
Yeah.
And Esau, look.
Because it's interesting, by and large, in this.
I just looked at white devil on YouTube. And
that's what you found? Yeah. They say that this is the time of the Gentiles. And so right now, because of Israel's sin, it has been given to Esau to have a dominion. And so this is, in essence, Gentile heaven. So they don't actually believe in heaven and hell as we would understand heaven and hell biblically. It's sort of a condition that you're in. Like right now is our heaven, if you're white, basically. Mm. And it's if you're Israelite, it's hell. But when Black Messiah comes back to put the boot upon the neck of the Edomite, then it's kind of like, then it's black man's heaven at that point.
So we have 12-year-old... many 12-year-old brides.
According to GMS, not according to all of them. But yes, and so it's very temporal as well.
Yeah.
You see how this all physical concerns by and large. But they don't think they can do it themselves is my point by saying that. Most of them are into like violent revolution. In fact, one group that I listen to regularly, it's kind of funny. They're like, man, don't you know how crafty Esau is? He's been given the power of the sword during the time of the Gentiles. And he has weapons that can see you from space and zap you where you stand right now. We can't fight that. It's going to take the Black Messiah. It's going to take Yeshua to come back and take care of that. You know, that type of thing. So by and large, they're not about trying to do like the whole violent thing. Now, they don't think it's possible. They think it's when he comes back.
So what... You mentioned like 1969. Is that kind of the genesis of this movement?
The modern version. Okay. So if you go back to right after the Civil War is when you see this first coming up. So if you've ever listened to, studied the Negro spiritual songs, you hear a heavy identification with the slaves, with the people of Israel, which makes sense. If you're enslaved, enslaved, you say, yet God is on our side and can bring us redemption, right? That's awesome. That's a powerful narrative. That's true. It's right there in the Bible. Well, some folks, basically, this is my interpretation, started taking that literally. And so there's one guy, this is actually one of the guys who was one of the prominent first guys to do this, was in this field, and he got a vision while working in this field right after the Civil War was over. I think he was in Kansas, about who black Americans really were, and it was Hebrew Israelites. So some little churches started popping up in various places, like in Kansas and Philly and New York, like in the 1860s, 70s, 1880s, 1890s. Then in the early 1900s, in Harlem, especially in the 20s and 30s, you have sort of the second wave, and those four folks were mainly really working to be more Jewish-looking, and so they would even go by rabbi and that type of thing. But out of one of those congregations, a guy named Rabbi Matthew, my understanding is a bunch of people left and started this more militant kind of modern version we see now, which I think is where ISUPK came from. But then out of ISUPK came a bunch of other camps. And now the camps are the primary movers of these doctrines and stuff. But you'll find that there's a lot of lone wolf Israelites, you know, who pick and choose certain things and not really affiliated with the camp. But I guarantee you the way they've discovered most of their information is like from a YouTube video or from some book recommended by a camp, even if they're not in a camp.
So did this 69, was that about the time you're seeing Black Panthers?
Yes, all this is going on at the same time. Yeah, so there's an interesting interview with an elder who was around then, and they interview him, and he talks about that. And actually, in the late 60s, a group of folks from the south side of Chicago left Chicago and moved to Israel. So right now, there's a group, and they call themselves African Israelites, but they're in Dimona, Israel right now, and there's approximately 3,000 to 5,000 of them.
Wow.
And they're not like the Ethiopian Jews, who appear to actually have some Semitic ancestry. They're these Hebrew Israelites who left from Chicago in the 60s, and they're a polygamous vegan sect living there in Dimona, Israel. But the Israelite government has actually recognized them. They've actually recognized them. And then Amari Stoudemire actually funded a documentary DVD called The Village of Peace.
He's a basketball player, Jeff.
Yes, so he used to play for Phoenix Suns, Amari Stoudemire. And he identifies as a Hebrew Israelite. He even owns part of a team there in Israel.
I did not know that.
And he funded this DVD called The Village of Peace, so you can watch about it. And they're kind of more chill. They make their own clothes and do stuff. You know, I mean, they're not really out street teaching and stuff. But, I mean, they're over there, and there's 3,000 to 5,000 of them, they say.
Do you see any history of, like, prophecy? You know, like, obviously they're out just preaching judgment upon us Edomites. But have there been instances of, like, actual, like, Messiah's returning?
Some have made definite dates, but I'm still looking into some more information about who said what when. But I've run into a few examples of that. But the most guys you'll run into are more the time is near, so they are apocalyptic.
Okay.
And like I saw this video where a guy was like, "Have you seen Independence Day?" You
know, I saw the aliens. San Fran guys,
right? You've seen the aliens over there? Well, that's the supposed wheels. To be us. Yeah, that's Black Angels in
the
there.
The wheels, yeah.
Yeah, there they come. And so most are like, from Ezekiel.
They do that thing too. Yeah. Okay.
So they are apocalyptic. It's going to happen soon. So that same group, GMS, they have a little meme they've made that has like a clip of someone holding onto a fence and like they're. It looks like they're in a nuclear winter and their face is like melting off and their skin is turning red and it's like all going back. And it's like, hey, white folks, this is your future.
Yeah.
That's what it means. And it's a meme.
I love when vocab talks about it. how excited he gets. It's
like, and the funny thing is you can buy it. You can buy that and you can have it as part of your startup kit because they sell camp startup kits. And in these startup kits, they give you a certain amount of sandwich boards and posters. That's one of the ones you could enlarge and carry around.
It gives you a racial slur dictionary.
I mean, there's like a bunch of different ones. When I first encountered them, they had Barack Obama drawn like the Antichrist, like with horn. They're not cool with Obama. They are not Obama supporters.
Why is that? Do you know why?
First of all, he's Kenyan. So there's an anti-African sentiment among a lot of these groups. So they don't even consider him an Israelite. Like, from my understanding, because of the Kenyan aspect. But, I mean, you know, he's in charge of this, you know, government. But the weird thing is, there's a Hebrew Israelite I just discovered that's running for election this year.
Really?
Yeah. A guy named Yam. I just encountered. I actually
like
watched.
Like the
potato? It's from a Hebrew word. But his campaign slogan. His campaign slogan
Go
is
on, vocab.
No collusion 2016. No collusion 2016. So he's not going to cooperate with the evil powers. Right. And I don't know if it's because of a real reason, but he actually does have an eye patch. So when he's speaking, it really is a little bit like Nick Fury saying he's going to run for president. Because in the video, one of his main promises is that he's going to go with the troops into battles and bring back the head of Syrian leaders. So you can watch this video. It's on YouTube. And it's really interesting, but he's running for president. I tried to watch another one of his videos, but he was eating a sandwich the whole time. So it was hard to make out what he's saying.
This is the craziest election year.
Yeah, even,
ever.
But hey, Yam Trump.
You got Trump, Clinton, Yam. I don't know if we need to bleep it out, but it's really on the ballot. D's nuts.
Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party.
Yeah. These are really, they're going to be on the ballot. Like, it's a real thing. It's actually happening in the world.
But if someone is like, okay, I got the basics, but this is the real side of it. Because this is a harvest field. And what's happening to the black church is they're losing young men who are energetic and zealous.
I was going to ask you that.
Left and right. Yes, God is sovereign, but I'm just telling you what I see.
Yeah.
And by and large, the traditional black church is not exactly aware of what's happening and don't seem to be marshaling the resources to combat it. And so they're losing folks, and almost all these Hebrew Israelites I've met have some heavy exposure, usually to the black church. In fact, one of the recurring themes you see in black Hebrew Israelite social media activity is mocking and calling out prosperity preachers.
Yeah.
Which, so, hey, we agree with that. We're cool with that. We agree with that.
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect there, and here they go. They wanted robust doctrine. You know, they wanted certain things they didn't see. They see it in the Hebrew Israelite movement. Mm. And so they come with this, and all of a sudden they feel masculine. They feel real brotherhood. They feel like actual Bible study. They feel like a serious call to action that matters in something.
Yeah.
Instead of, here's what they talk a lot about, you know, four offerings and what the pastor's driving and that type of stuff. And so they, that's a problem. And then sort of the white mainstream evangelical church, it's hard for them to realize this problem, and often they don't care as much as they should. So I'll tell you about a real conversation I had. I'm going to not name anybody, but it was with a sister in Christ who had actually for years been involved with ministering to Muslims even.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her what I was doing. She's like, well, but you're not Jewish, are you? I was like, well, no. She's like, well, you're not black either, are you? I was like, well, no. Like, so why are you doing this? And I was like, see, well, that's kind of the problem. I was like, see, we need more people who we don't all have to be in those categories to care about this,
right,
do
right.
we? Because isn't this Christ church being affected by this? And aren't these questions, actually, when you get into this doctrine, they're questions that have been there since Galatians.
Right.
You read Galatians and you say, oh, the Hebrew Israelites are the Judaizers. There's some differences going on.
Right.
But they are the Judaizers of Galatians.
Right.
And they're bringing up the same issues, talking about the same things
right.
that were in Galatians and in Acts. And so it brings up important issues that we need to deal with. And there needs to be a marshaling of resources and people caring, because it's happening and no one's paying attention. And it's not going to get smaller. You could look at the self-published books, internet channels. It's going to get bigger. I think it'll be more prominent. You'll see more. I'm not saying this religion is going to take over the world.
Right.
But I'm going to say I think you're going to see it become a much more significant force in ground level inner city life.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's what I think you'll see happening.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, when I'm just looking at what we face, just in one area, like, say, with Mormonism, like, if the church had taken it more seriously.
Right. In the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning when they were in New York and then, you know, moving their way across, if we would have just really engaged and worked hard on, you know, bringing the gospel to those communities, challenging them to public debate, you know, just working on
right.
them, you know, could we have stopped it in its tracks and not gotten to, you know, over 10 million?
Yeah, because now really is the time, because so they'll recommend a book. This is the closest thing they have to their Bible. This is like the intro level, From Babylon to Timbuktu. Scholars need to go through this book and lacerate it, because it deserves to be eviscerated. It's filled with bad historiography, false assumptions, written in 1969, I believe. But if you look at this, this is an example of something that a scholar especially could utilize resources, because they make a lot of claims about the Hebrew language that are sometimes difficult for a layperson to tack onto. That's why I'm glad my second reader is a Hebrew professor, so I can be like, what's this guy saying here? What's this guy saying there? You know, is this accurate? And half the time he's laughing. He's like, dude, they're making up words. He's like, this doesn't exist, and this is half a word. And anyways, but the thing is, you don't know that. So we need these resources there.
That's incredible.
But there's a lot of stuff that the average person is like, whoa, they're making way too many claims. This is like multidisciplinary, you know, multiple disciplines that you'd have to be aware of.
Yeah.
And so we need to attack it now as God's people, and also shore up our churches so this doctrine's not so attractive to people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then also figure out some evangelistic strategies to reach out to people who have been affected by this. Because in my current research, I have met, in case someone's wondering, ex-Hebrew Israelites who are now on fire believers for the Lord. Yeah. I have met them. So it's not like you're in this and it's forever, you know. Mm-hmm. Like anything. There are people who get saved. They come out of this and realize some of the sadness that they realized that it was wrong, basically. Yeah. So
what, so the one I have at least have this in the show, give me a snapshot of what they believe about God and the gospel. Like those two central issues.
By and large, they like to call God the Most High.
Okay.
So if you see the abbreviation TMH online, that means the Most High. And then they are sacred namers. Meaning they get caught up in what you call God specifically.
Okay.
So it can't be Jehovah, though, but it might be, and it's very rarely Yahweh. It's other versions, and you can know which sect they are by what they call God.
Okay.
So very big on that. But I haven't met any that are triune. They'll have Jesus be divine in some way, but none of them that I've determined so far have Jesus being co-equal, so they all denigrate Jesus to some kind of lesser being status. It looks very similar oftentimes to Jehovah's Witness Christology.
Okay.
Not all the time, though, but a lot of times it looks like that. So that's obviously a problem. Some of the groups have the Holy Spirit being a person, but a lot of the groups I've ran into do have Holy Spirit as not God or it as well.
Okay.
And so that creates a problem from jump. Then the gospel side of it, you hardly ever hear them use the word gospel. You hear them say things like, do you keep the law?
Okay.
And they think you can keep the law. So they have a high view of man's ability to please God by keeping the law.
While they're dropping F-bombs.
Well,
hey, have any of them, like, defended that?
Yes.
Like, violence and...
Well, the violence is one thing, because most of them don't try to be violent this side of things. But the F-bombs, the camps that do that, remember, some say, hey, those guys do that, that's not Christ-like. Some say that's not Christ-like.
Right.
So they would say what we would say. The camps that do say, Edomites aren't used to a strong black man making confident claims, and so they tell us to tone it down, but we don't have to listen to you. So something like, there's nothing wrong. And they'll say, don't you know, I'm sorry, don't you know that Paul said he was crude of speech? In the King James Version, I think it says, when I came to you, I was rude of speech or something.
Yeah, he came to church, he was like dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, they interpret that as like Paul was like getting it in like that, which... And there's some other examples they love to bring up. Of course, they would bring up Elijah and things like that. Jesus' words to the Pharisees. So they say they're fine where they're at with that. But, the gospel to them is works-based.
Do they believe Jesus died and rose again?
Most of them do that I can ascertain, but it seems like incidental in their overall soteriology.
Not because he was God.
Well, he definitely wasn't God by any of the camps I've heard talked to. But occasionally you will hear camps a little bit focus on the atonement. And so some of the camps get kind of Christian sometimes. So I was listening to a teaching, and it was weird because it came from a guy I didn't expect would say it. And that's what's hard. It's they're not always consistent. He was talking about being forgiving, and he said, because Jesus Christ died for our sins and forgave us. And I was like, it was really out of context from what I had come to expect from them. Huh. But it's rare that you hear that, and it is a little more incidental, but that's a legitimate Christian application. So my point is, sometimes you'll be listening to them, and you'll say, that's a decent interpretation of that verse. You'll hear and you'll say, well, that's not what I would go with on an interpretation, but that's a legitimate, viable interpretive option there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a lot of esoteric interpretations as well.
Sure, that's what I've seen. Yeah.
But you'll hear these things, and a lot of times you'll say, they're trying, and there's sometimes you hear guys legitimately trying to do justice to the text. And so it's weird. Sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised by some of the ways they interpret scripture sometimes.
Okay.
So it's a real mixed bag, actually. So I want to give them respect where respect is due. But the atonement, but most of them seems a little more incidental. Law-keeping, I picture them like Judaizers. It's more about law-keeping, really.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're gone.
I was just going to ask if they were annihilationists, because...
I can't tell yet. Okay. It seems like they have a view that if you're an Edomite that's real bad, you get killed when Black Messiah comes back, and you're just, I don't know what happens to you.
Yeah.
Or if you're like a black dude who is too down.
Define real bad Edomite.
I mean, it seems like... Because, see, I haven't got this figured out.
I'm just curious.
Again, worry, Joy.
I mean, so, Donald Trump. Just kidding. I'm sorry. It's too easy, right? It's too easy. But because I haven't understood yet, because it seems like the slaves, they're not immediately killed. So I almost think, like, the slaves might have it better off, from what I can tell. But I haven't fully got it figured out who's, like, the hierarchy of what judgment looks like for them. Maybe there's, like, a house field type slave concept.
Okay.
I'm still working that all out to try to understand some of those things. But some of them are dead, but it doesn't seem like they go to hell. It seems like it's annihilationism.
Okay, so let's wrap it up with maybe some resources and helps. I mean, obviously, you're getting started on this, and this is all like ground level stuff. And you did a great job, by the way, in explaining this. This is really fascinating. You got a stack of books here.
Yeah,
okay.
Some resources.
So maybe explain to everybody, what should we do to start?
Well, if you're gonna do reading, so this is not the only way to approach it or get answers, but if you're going to do reading, I'll recommend a few books to help you. One is called Africa in the Bible. Yamauchi, great scholar. And it gives you more the true perspective on how Africa as a continent does tie into Scripture, because Africa is more prominent in the Bible than Europe.
Mm.
But like, if you actually look at the whole of the Bible, you're like, hey, Africa is, when you add it all up, Africa is pretty important in Scripture, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great book. So this just is to give you the real view of the Scripture's interaction with Africa.
That's it?
Yeah, that's a great book. And then similar but different is a book by Daniel Hayes, From Every People and Nation, A Biblical Theology of Race. Great book on the Bible's discussion and interaction of actually different people groups in Scripture, and a biblical way to look at it and approach it. It's just, this series is edited by D.A. Carson, and it's not directly refuting any claims per se. It's giving you robust theology to interact with what they say, because there is no Christian book that interacts and refutes their claims. There's a couple videos, a couple articles, but it's very rudimentary in it. This is a more general book, Scripture Twisting by James Sire. It shows you the way cults tend to twist texts, and Hebrew Israelites are guilty of a lot of these, especially the esoteric interpretation view. I recommend this book. I don't know if you guys would, though, but for 40 Questions About Christians and Biblical Law, I think it's helpful to understand why the food laws aren't binding on the Christian, why are we doing Sunday instead of Saturday, things along those lines.
Yeah, we're with you.
And there's some good stuff in here, though, and I think that's helpful because the law is going to be important to them and how they approach it. And then...
That's why theonomy is so important, vocab.
That's what they would say, too, except they don't know the word theonomy, I don't think. And then this book is the history of them, but it's by a scholar, and it's printed by Oxford, actually. So it's a kind of a relatively objective view of their history up to this point. And so it just gives you history of the movement, if you understand. The Chosen People by Jacob Dorman. And then let me give last book. This is my favorite one out of them all. Hebrew Israelites
this
for Dummies.
This one's hilarious.
It's filled with pictures and memes. It's written by a guy who calls himself the Judahite. It's self-published, and it's laid out a little odd, but it's still very helpful to help you understand some of their basic things they find important. And it's Hebrew Israelites for Dummies. I mean, what more can you say? So there's some, but there's no like single.
Yeah.
But the best thing, join our discussion group. It's called Christian and Hebrew Israelite Discussion Group on Facebook. Come join it, and then just ask questions to the Hebrew Israelites in there, and find ways to share the gospel to them. You'll probably learn more through that than anything else. And from that, you'll probably run into some guys who live close to you, and I recommend do private follow-up from the discussion group to do a private follow-up to go eat with them somewhere and then talk to them further, which is, by God's grace, what I've been able to do with a few guys.
So if you ever publish a book, is it going to be by Vocab Malone or J.M. Reiser?
I haven't got that figured out yet. I don't know.
I like J.M. Reiser.
But it's Reiser.
I always say it wrong.
It's all good. Yeah, I don't know yet. See, if I do that, it gives away the German side, because if it was on the Italian side, the Sicilian side, which is a little better according to them, it could be Polino, but then I got to be Reese's. I don't know. They all have nicknames. Why can't I just be vocab alone?
Why can't you have like numbers and letters together? Be like KRS-1, like, or
what's wrong?
VM1.
See, that's the other thing I like about actually this area is it fits like urban theologian street apologetics. Like that's where you talk.
It absolutely makes sense to me that you're into this.
See,
yeah. Especially because you were like describing all these things, and you were like, they're all like superheroes, and I was like, there we go. That's why you're doing.
He's
this.
Like, I saw that they had a doll, and I was like an action figure. I was like,
he told me he was like, some of them wear capes. And I was like, I think we all should.
Some of them do wear capes. And in the videos where they're street preaching and the wind is blowing while they're speaking,
cosplay.
It's flawless perfection because the dude's cape is going in the wind. And he's like, don't you know? And you're like, it's like amazing.
Vocab's trying to evangelize. She's like, wait.
I kind of like these guys.
Seriously.
I was in the Biola library, and Biola got this comics collection. So you have to go down to the archives, and you can read Christian. They're all Christian comics from like way back in the 50s, really? 60s, 70s. And so I was going through one day, and they pull them out with gloves. It's really weird. You only have to look a certain amount of time, and you're with the archivist down in the bottom of the basement of Biola. And I come across one. I'm like, wait a minute. They had a Black Hebrew Israelite comic in the collection. I was like, I can't take this. I can't have this. Why can't I have this? Do you know what this is? And it was just amazing. Like, Moses had an afro so large, he had a part in the middle.
You parted his afro like the Red Sea.
And there's parts where they fly. It is amazing the way they tell the Bible stories. So I did take some pictures of it, so I got on my phone. But I want to get that comic so bad. It's pretty amazing. When you see it, you'll be like, oh, this is...
He had a little pick.
He didn't have a pick.
It was sticking out of the part, and it was Pharaoh.
It was legit. It was legit, though. Hey, take your pick. It's either that or Charlton Heston. All right, I'll go with the Afro guy.
This is awesome. All right, so Vocab Malone, pastor of Roosevelt Community Church. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And enjoy the girl, Luke the bear, and thank you, guys. If you were watching this, you are part of our All Access. You partner with us. You make all this ministry possible. You make all of this opportunity to get educated, all of this information, getting it out to the Christian community, and you did it. You helped us, and so thank you guys so much. Let somebody know about Apologia All Access, and don't forget, coming up soon is reformcon.org. Vocab Malone is going to be there. He's teaching. How many times are you teaching?
Once that I know of.
Once. Okay. He's only free the first night, but you know what? Did I tell you what he's going to teach on?
What?
Theology and comic books.
Really? Nice. Very
get
cool.
Get it in. Some
that's
Batman,
cool.
Some Superman. Maybe throw in Star Wars, even though it's not a comic book.
Yeah. There's good Star Wars comics, though, aren't there?
Well, yeah, but I got some specific things to talk about theology within Star Wars.
Okay.
Like, bro, in Return of the Jedi, Ewoks worshiping C-3PO, there's 1,000 things about religion in that scene.
Wow.
1,000 things. So the stuff that happens in that scene and afterwards with 3PO and the Ewoks, for example, there's other ones, but that's one of my favorites.
Wow. See, anyways, you saw, we almost got it going there. And almost, an engine almost started. So reformcon.org, that's where you guys go to get tickets. You guys can come out and stay with us June 1st through 4th. Hang out, fellowship, listen to good teaching, meet Vocab and the rest of the crew. So get your tickets, and we'll see you guys there. Apologia TV. Thank you, guys.